Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Welcome, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I have to tell you, this is the most incredible time of our lives if we just open up our eyes, open up our hearts, and keep our minds so that we can absorb the amazing things going on. I never thought in a million years, honestly, when I started on this journey, this passion, you know, this accident that many of you refer to as talk radio, that I would ever be interviewing someone like Billie Jean King. Well, guess what? Today is the day. She has been a longtime legend and icon, somebody that has helped me shape my life and in many, many ways. And, you know, if you think about accomplishments and in her field and you think about what she's done, you're looking at 39 Grand Slam tennis titles, but also what has she done to pave the way for people like you and me? So there's the on the court and there's the off the court. And when you put that together, we're looking at someone who has been so influential, not just here in the United States and for American adults, but we're looking at someone that really walks the talk, that has inspired people to stand up, and has inspired women in particular to know that you can be absolutely exquisite in your life. Today we get to talk to her. She sounds, you know, her bio sounds like mine, 6 knee surgeries and a couple of other things going on. But you know what? We're going to talk to her about what that journey was like, what she has done, how she moved beyond the suffering, and Billie Jean King is ecstatic to be back on the court. Billie Jean, thank you so much for joining me today. It is such an honor to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, Dr. Pat. It's great to be with you, and I hope people are happy and going for it out there.
I hope they are, too, but I'll tell you, you wrote the book on going for it. I mean, at least in my lifetime, you did. You put new meaning to the words going for it. You know, what is this like for you to look at your life today, to know that this is the 50th anniversary of your first Wimbledon win, and look at the terms going for it? What does that come to mean for you?
Well, I was an aggressive player. I'd go to net a lot, you know, serve volley, we call it, serve and volley, you know, serve and hit the first ball in the air, which is a volley, and going forward. And I always get a kick out of everybody now. They talk about leaning forward, going forward. I don't know if you've noticed just in the last, it feels like even a few weeks, few months. Denzel Washington used it in his, you know, his commencement speech at the University of Pennsylvania this year, and it's all about leaning forward, not backwards. And I thought that was pretty funny because as an aggressive tennis player, that's what we're always doing is going forward. And I always hope and realize I go forward. You know, I live each day, I live each moment. All we have really is time, so let's make the best of it. And whatever time we have, and have a very productive, happy, mm-hmm. healthy life. And that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me about everyday life and all of us, not just, I don't think about myself so much. I think about all of us. And I just think true champions, champions in life, mm-hmm. what I mean when I say champions in life, really hopefully affect another human being in their life, help them be better. It's really a gift. I know Andre yeah. Agassi and I talk about that a lot, and he's got his, you know, like his Agassi Prep School, Academy, I'm sorry, out in Las Vegas, and it's amazing what he's done for these children in this area that's full of poverty.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that is, you have been, of course, all of us can sit down and read all the bullet points in your bio, but those of us that sort of were inspired by you to live a completely empowered life. And I was one of those people. You know, one of the things that is so important I want to talk to you about is how you got the courage and the gumption to do what you did. Because, you know, we're talking about your style of tennis, but it also seems to be sort of a reflection on your life, so to speak.
It is. I think what has made my life exceptional is, first of all, I got very lucky where I was born, Long Beach. I got very fortunate on my parents. My mother was a homemaker at the beginning and then ended up working, selling Avon and Tupperware because it had basically flexi time. And my dad was a firefighter, and he took on another job so my brother and I could follow our dreams. And they didn't care if we were any good. They just wanted us to be happy and healthy and try our best. And my younger brother became a Major League Baseball player. And, you know, over 10 years he played in the majors. And, of course, I became number one in the world in tennis. And my parents probably would have been just much happier if we were home all the time with them. They've always had to share us with the world, so to speak. And I know it was hard on them because they didn't care if we're famous or all those things that happened to us. But I start with them. My Reverend Bob Richards in my church was a huge influence on me. He was a gold medal winner in the 48 and 52 Olympics as a pole vaulter. Every sermon every Sunday was about empowerment, about being a champion in life, about how sports and physical activity helped you be healthier, you know, and how don't smoke. I mean, all the things that you want to hear as a child. And, of course, he had sports in every sermon, so you know I'm there every Sunday. Because he had such wonderful stories. He could have personal stories or other stories. And what a great motivator he was. And then my first coach, Clyde Walker, in the Long Beach Public Park System. I'm very, very lucky that we had a great public park system in Long Beach, California, where I was born. Also, the Long Beach tennis patrons helped me. The Long Beach Century Club helped me. I had people who believed in me and helped me along the way. And I always think about them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very fortunate, and God gave me extra energy. I definitely have given an extra dose, not dose, many doses of energy. So
I love this because I was interviewing Gloria Steinem, and we talked about how we get to stand on the shoulders of all that have come before.
Yes.
And you know what I'm saying? And what you're describing is this incredible journey. It's really like a tapestry when I listen to you of how you've been able to stand up and be who you are authentically and recognize the people that help you get there. So often we forget about that, don't we?
I hope not. I never have. Every day I wake up, I have a grateful list.
Mm-hmm.
I call it my blessing list.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's quite long. Especially now that I'm older, I have more history. Just to be very thankful that all these different people have been in my life, made a difference in my life. In fact, standing on the shoulders of the people that came before us, I actually use that in my speech that I did for the high school graduates last week for the Andre Agassi Preparatory Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about we all stand on the shoulders of the generations before us, but what I tried to emphasize with them, it's now going to be your turn soon to shape the world so we can stand on your shoulders. And you could see them absolutely, they were paying attention. And I talked about them being in an area of poverty. They certainly are not full of poverty in their soul and in their minds and their ambition. In fact, I would say they're very rich in those areas. When I meant poverty, I meant financial poverty.
Yes.
I did not mean in their soul or who they are
right.
as human beings. And it was so gratifying to see the 18-year-olds, and particularly they had, you know, there were three women on stage. The president, the valedictorian, and the vice president were all women this year in the graduating class. So it's amazing how far we're coming. And, of course, Gloria and I used to get into it a little bit because I used to tease her. I used to joke with her. I go, Gloria, the feminists only think from the neck up. It's about the whole body, the mind, body, and soul. You should use us more. We're sports. We're visible. We're fun. We can help the women's movement. Use us. You know, and she'd look at me, you know, and because she's such a great writer and she's so sweet. And she wasn't big in exercise. And so one night she was at this Women's Sports Foundation dinner and I walked across the stage to say hi to her and she goes, Billy, she whispered in my ear, I'm exercising now. I'm exercising now. It was adorable. So, so you do it. She was huge influence on me as well. And, it's pretty funny, but it just shows
it's
you your background and how you grow up and who, my parents are very big on, exercise, being healthy. And I'm sure her, mom, I think who raised her, I think it's her mother. Or, I can't remember if she had both parents or not, but I don't think they emphasized exercise or health or, you know, more about that from the neck up. It's like I was teasing her. You know, it's all in our environment, in our culture that we grow up in.
Right. I love this time that we're talking about and how we've actually moved this forward, including you and what you're doing now. I mean, we truly have created a platform where, you know, the strength of the collective from your perspective and what you just said, body, mind, spirit, and passion is so important. You and I have something in common. I want to talk about that. Well, first of all, we both play racket sports. I play table tennis, but.
Oh, you do? That's great.
Yeah. You inspired me, and I'll tell you why. Your style of play on the tennis court, of course, which I could never do, inspired me to take an aggressive approach to playing table tennis. I was one of the first table tennis players, on the East Coast that used a very topspin style of play. And I remember watching you one day and thinking, why is she able to do that? And here in this other racket sport, we are still as women taught this defensive play. But also like you, I've had a few knee surgeries. What is it like to have that kind of pain in your body and know that you are this incredibly talented athlete? I mean, how did you deal with the pain?
Well, it's always been difficult. Ever since I was 23, when I was number one in the world in tennis and had to have my first knee operation, it was very, very difficult. How many knee operations have you had, Dr. Pat?
Let's see. I've had 3 on the left and 2 on the right.
Okay, we're right in there. so over the years, my life got more and more difficult with the pain. I had more and more operations. Probably 6-5 years ago. I'm never quite sure. I'm not great with time, but I got to where my life was really closing in on me.
Yeah.
Really couldn't go up and down stairs. You know, I took a taxi to the gym, which is 2.5 blocks away.
Mm.
You know, I couldn't go to a restaurant 3 blocks away without having to get help or it was just terrible. And the most important thing to me as far as exercise was I couldn't play tennis anymore.
Wow.
I love tennis. And I'm talking about exercise, not competing.
Right.
And so finally, last year on February 10th, I got my double knee replacement. And I am so lucky. I went to Dr. Rodriguez at Lenox Hill in New York City, and he uses this Verilast knee technology, which it's been tested for 30-year wear performance.
And oh, wow.
More than twice as long as any other knee replacement. I don't know if you know that, but
yeah.
I think that's huge.
Yeah.
I think that's huge because now I'm 67.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can get at least 30 years out of this Verilast knee technology, it means I'll be 97. And I think it's still going. I mean, maybe it'll end up being a 50-year deal. I don't know. But right now we know it's at least 30-year tested wear performance. So I'm like, I am so fortunate to have this Verilast knees in me, and I'm just am so grateful. I have so much fun on the court again. I cannot tell you. I am so happy.
Wow.
Tennis makes me happy. When I come off playing, hitting, when I say playing, I mean hitting half court and doing drills. When I come off the court after 45 minutes to an hour, I am so happy. I feel very integrated and connected with myself. And also to the universe. I don't know. There's something special for me personally to play tennis. And so when I come off the court, as I'm walking off the court, I play in Central Park in New York a lot. As I'm walking off the court, I'm always just so thankful because I'm like, oh, thank you, God. I got to play tennis again. Thank you, Dr. Rodriguez. Thank you to all my physical therapists. Thank you to everyone who's made my life better. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I get to play tennis again. I can get out of bed without tweaking my knee and having to put ice on it for 10 days and elevating it and, you know, using an ACE bandage to compress so they don't get to compress it so the swelling goes down. So all those things are so important to me. And so every day I get to be very thankful that, I can play tennis again. And I can go to the, I can walk to the gym. I can walk forever now. And I take a walk in Central Park now, which I haven't been able to, or Riverside Park, or down by the Hudson. Or I can go to the gym. I can lift weights again. I can do whatever I want. I can do it. My balance is better. I have stability, that I haven't had. I cannot remember my knees being this stable since my 20s.
I love this. I love this story and what you're sharing about this because, you know, this is breakthrough for people to know that they can get this. And I just want to make sure folks will know by the end of this interview, you know, what this technology is. 30 years of wear and performance, isn't that almost double what the...
Okay. That's what I thought. Here's what, if I had known about the Verilast knee technology earlier,
because
I kept waiting too, because I kept thinking they're not going to, they don't last very long. That's kind of the central theme that everyone kind of shares with each other when you, you know, just talking with people like you and I now, we're starting talking about our knees because your knees aren't good, my knees aren't good. Oh, I don't know if I can get that because I hear it only lasts 10 years and I'm going to have it again. I don't want to have, I don't know what to do. You know, and so it's like, okay, well, now you can.
I just went through that conversation with myself and my best friend.
You just went through that conversation. That's exactly what happens every day of my life with all of us who either have shoulders, knees, hips, whatever it is. Everyone talks about it. And, so I don't know if you have a lot of, knowledge seekers out there and the ones that like to go to the internet and do research, then go to rediscoveryourgo.com.
Yeah, and actually we're going to put up a link and we're going to put up a banner and so we'll let folks know about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because this is like information. When I got the information about this and I wanted to talk with you because, you know, there are things that we are passionate about. I can only imagine how much your heart must have hurt, Billie Jean, from not being able to play tennis. I actually couldn't even imagine that. I mean, I've always seen you on the court in some way. When I think of Billie Jean King, I think of you playing. Your heart must have been so hurt. My gosh.
I really missed it.
Oh.
And when I watch the others play, like if I watch at Wimbledon or if I watch, my core business is world team tennis. And, we're in the communities. If you know, we have 9 cities and 10 markets and all this. And we try to really be part of the community. And, you know, health is a very big part of the community. Also, I'm on the council, in the President's Council for Fitness, Sports, and Nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And I started the Women's Sports Foundation back in 74 when we knew obesity, health, title. We've also been basically the guardians of Title IX for sports for women. And so this has been a passion in the health costs because of our obesity and harder on your joints. But there's a way now to stay active, you know, that we didn't have before with this Verilast knee technology. And knowing it lasts as long as it does, it's just so much fun.
It's totally.
So I just hope people will start doing the research, you know, go online, just start thinking about it. If you're in pain, if someone out there is in pain, if you're in pain, Dr. Pat, just start thinking about what your life could be. And believe me, it's a painful rehab. Dr. Rodriguez is fantastic. I mean, when I went in and talked with him for consultation, I said, well, talk to me. I said, I only have one question. Can I play tennis again? And he said, yes. He says, you mean competitively? Do you want to win Wimbledon again? I said, no. I'm too old. I don't care about that. I just want to hit. He said, that's easy peasy. And then I said, well, how long is the rehab? And he said, it's 6 months to a year. So there's a commitment, but it is worth it, I'm telling you. And what I would think about when I was going through my rehab is that first tennis ball I was going to get to hit. Guess where I hit my first tennis ball?
Where?
At Wimbledon.
Wow.
Last year, I went out on court 16. I snuck out there. I'm not supposed to be out there. You know, it's for the players. It's during the tournament. You're not supposed to be. And so I walked out, and I hit my first ball. I stood at net, I wanted to make sure I made it over the net. The first shot, I did not want to miss the first ball. The first ball is so important. And sometimes how you start is how you finish. So I'm like, come on. And so Roz Fairbank from South Africa put it right on my racket, and we got a shot on it. We actually got a picture of it, so I'm so excited.
Oh,
I'm so glad.
Great.
Did somebody get their phone and take a photo, you know, just anything to have this recorded. So I was on Court 16. I'm going to go back there this year when I go next week and go back out to Court 16 and start visualizing and kind of returning to where I hit my first ball after my, you know, double knee replacement.
Oh, I think it's great. But you know what? You are, you're pretty acquainted with, doing things first. I mean, you have so many bullet points next to your list of accomplishments as the first woman commissioner in professional sports, first woman to coach co-ed. I mean, first to do a lot of things. Where did you get that from? How do you describe that aspect of your nature?
I'm not sure how to really describe it, but I remember, well, when I was 7, I told my mother I was going to do something great with my life. So obviously I felt good about life.
Mm.
You know, something was, I felt, I don't know, I got this feeling inside my soul that, and I'm drying the dishes and I said, Mom, I just know I'm going to do something great with my life. And she's going, that's fine. Just keep drying those dishes. She wasn't too concerned. She thought, that's sweet for a 7-year-old to say that. And then when I was 11, I wanted to be number one in the world, after I'd played tennis the second time. And then when I was 12, I had an epiphany.
Mm.
And epiphany really was about how I wanted to change tennis and the world. And I really, the essence of who I am since I've been 12 is caring about equal rights and opportunities for boys and girls, men and women. That is really how I feel. Equality for both genders. We've always got to do the right thing by both genders. You can't go wrong. When you are biased one gender over another, it never works long term. I mean, look at what we had before Title IX. Title IX was the first time we got equal federal funding for boys and girls. Before 1972, you know, doctors, lawyers, women that wanted to be those in those professions, the quotas were 5%, 10%. And we're talking about the Harvards of the world. We're not talking about schools we haven't heard of. And that was horrible. And also, I'm a pre-Title IX baby, so I didn't get a full scholarship to college. In fact, in the early 60s, I was at Cal State LA working two jobs and thought
yeah.
I was living large.
Yeah.
And I felt blessed, and I felt like I was living large. But, you know, 30 miles away, Stan Smith, who became number one in the world, it's full scholarship to SC, University of Southern California. And not very far from there was UCLA, and Arthur Ashe got a full ride. And so after 1972, things started to change, not only in all of education, including women's sports. And for the first time, a woman could get an athletic scholarship. So I'm thrilled with Title IX. That's the reason I wanted to beat Bobby Riggs a year later, was to start to change the hearts and minds of people to match up with the legislation of Title IX. So
exactly. Exactly, because, you know, that's another first. I mean, nobody ever thought to really buck the system in that way, especially through, you know, especially through sports. And boy, I'll tell you, you know, what you, Billie Jean, have been able to create is huge door openings for people. And people, women in particular, to, you know, and to just step up and say, you know, I want to be able to compete at this level. And so what's on the horizon for you now? I mean, there is so much that,
I do world team tennis. That's my core business. I'm a small businesswoman. I have been since 1968.
Uh-huh.
I used to own tournaments. We had no infrastructure when we started professional women's tennis.
Right.
So got to put your money where your mouth is. So we help by having a couple of tournaments, a group of us. I've been in an ownership position of either tournaments or teams or leagues since early 70s. My former husband and I did a exhibition in 1968 at the Oakland Coliseum. That was our first. We had no money, and we did it, and we made money on it, so we got lucky. We could have lost. I don't know where the money would have come from if we lost it. That's what youth does for you. We don't know any better, which is good sometimes. You know, you just go for it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that's that. And world team tennis is my core business. It's men and women on a team together, equal contribution by both genders, and it's on a level playing field. And so when young people come out to watch a world team tennis match, he or she sees themselves because both genders are playing. And then also they see us cooperating, and they see leadership and supportive things going on. And sometimes the male is in a leadership position. Sometimes the woman is in there. You have to support each other. And then we also have on-court coaching, which I'm a big believer in. In tournament tennis, they do not do that. They come out in doubles between sets sometimes. I don't like that. I like immediate feedback when you're trying to help somebody, not wait. And so I'm very big on that. And also I think coaches don't get their fair due in our sport in tennis. So, the socialization process for children is very important to me. I think it makes a big difference what you experience as a child, whether you're empowered or not.
Enormous.
And whether you're a good team person, and also to step up and lead when it's appropriate. Sometimes you lead in front, sometimes you lead behind. Sometimes quitting is leading. So there's different forms of leadership at different times in one's life.
I'll tell you that what you just said is something clearly to remember. Billie Jean, thank you so much for joining me today. I want to make sure everybody has the website out there that we talked about earlier. Knee pain, hip pain, whatever it is, go to www.rediscoveryourgo.com. And we're going to be posting this in the Dr. Pat Show newsletter and website, et cetera. Thank you, Billie Jean, for joining us today.
Thanks, Dr. Pat.
It's been so great.
If you ever need to call me about your knees, give me a call.
I'm actually was born in the Bronx, so I'm actually from New York.
You're born in the Bronx, bing-a-da-boom.
There it is. And I'm telling you, when I read about this show today and the fact that this is so different, it's changed my whole perspective on what I could do. Thank you so much again.
You're very welcome and good luck. It was meant to be, huh?
Absolutely meant to be. And let me know if there's any way I can support you at all. I would love to do so.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thanks,
all right,
Dr. Pat.
Thank you. Billie Jean King, everybody. Wow. I'm going to have to get her back. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
Welcome to Rubenesque Yoga. We offer yoga classes at retreats that focus on relaxation and rejuvenation. You do not need to be a marathon runner or bend like a pretzel to attend our classes. Rubenesque Yoga's retreats are held at the beautiful Wild Iris Inn located in Lacana, Washington, where you will enjoy a weekend of relaxation, yoga, and shopping. Please visit yogaforplussizes.com for more information. That's yogaforplussizes.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time. Everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. We have got absolutely cool presentation for everybody today. Oh, my gosh. You know, what I think about a lot is how we just go full circle. The people we meet, the connections we make, and we think to ourselves, what is the meaning of that connection? Is that going to be a one-time, a one-night stand with somebody I interview on the show? Or is it going to turn into something a bit more, how should I say, esoterically romantic? Well, today's show is a very special show. I love, love, love what I do. But why do I love what I do? I love what I do because I get to talk with the most incredible people on the planet. It's just amazing to me. I wake up some days and I think, how did I get from being homeless at 17, sitting in my 61 Volkswagen Beetle to this place today? Well, I want to tell you, it is because of the work of people like my very special guest today, Lilou Massé. Now, I'm not French, but I certainly hope that I've done a good job of that. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Lilou. She and I met several years ago. But when I think about people that are on a mission, and they're on a mission for a lot of reasons, they decide to do the following. They're looking at their lives and they're saying, am I playing not to lose or am I playing to win? And there's a fundamental difference for those of us that know what it's like to play not to lose. When you step into the place of playing to win and winning not just for oneself, but winning for the greater good,
That's how you get to be at the place that my very special guest is now. Over 8 million, let me just say 8 million video views, and a mission and a passion to bring all of us information about how we can be the best that we could be. You're going to hear who Lilu is, but more importantly, you're going to hear why she is. I want to thank you so much for joining me here today. It's just incredible to have you here. Isn't it amazing how we did this dance?
Yes, and we danced it beautifully, and it's amazing to be here in your presence in Seattle, in your own hometown, and that I'm here. Life has brought me here. Life has brought us together for a beautiful co-creation, because we're both very, very passionate about what we're doing, and we're definitely impacting.
Yeah. So let's talk about what you are doing.
Yeah.
Because there's a big energy right now. And I think we've gone through decades and maybe centuries of thinking. And it seems like this is the year for doing. Now, you must have, one day you must have just woke up and there you were. And you said, what is my life all about? But if I were to ask you how you want people to remember you, if this were your last day on the planet, what would you want them to know?
I just want people to know that anything is possible in life. And I want people to have the courage to open their heart and step in their greatness. I want people to see that once we dare to dream, but just not dare to dream, but really do the work that is aligned with that dream and step in and do that quantum leap that it takes, where nothing is visible from the seen, and step in the unseen, where then magic happens. Mm-hmm. And I want everybody on this planet to experience the magic I'm experiencing right now, following my dream.
Tell people about what your dream is, because, you know, most people would think about some of the things they want to do in life and think about how absolutely unimaginable getting some of this done. But you didn't let any of that get in your way. Tell folks what you're on a mission, what you're doing. 8 million views. Really? I mean, my gosh. You know, we're talking video, interviewing just some of the most incredible people. And you've actually been called the Oprah of the Internet. I mean, oh my goodness. Isn't that an amazing gift?
Well, what's really amazing is to see that magic of life, and to stepping in and meet all those wonderful people along the way, and people like you, and connect on this heart level. I'm coming from a shy background. It was a huge deal for me to step in front of the camera and just do those video blogs. And it started from a video blog journey, having created with Laura Doxter and Sandy Grace and the 100 Day Reality Challenge that we talked about years ago on your show. And that has opened up just, you know, how it's like you feel there is this vision, there is this heart connection, there is this passion to do something, knowing that it's unfolding one step at a time. So do I have a clear, very clear picture of where I'm heading? No, but I can feel the energy and the connections and the expansion of consciousness happening around it. It's incredible. And now that I'm seeing it, it's just materializing itself step by step. And something that started from the 100 Day Challenge then brought me to interview wonderful people, amazing people that people would love to spend more time with.
Yeah.
And I have the chance and to meet those wonderful people along the way. So why not recording those conversations and sharing how magically one's journey can unfold when we start applying universal laws and really daring to step in this magnificence. And it's scary. And I had met many, many challenges. It's not plain sailing.
let's talk about those, because, you know, for the people that listen to the Dr. Pat Show, and a lot of new people all over the world, many of them have not really heard my journey, and I'm just starting to share it. But we're not without our challenges, are we?
Mm-mm.
I mean, when we're talking about the Juicy Living Tour, and as yummy as that sounds, right? I mean, it's yummy. How do you say juicy in French?
Juteux.
There you go. I'm telling you, there it is. I mean, when you hear something like that, and we hear that this is what you're doing, Lilu, and we're talking about the Juicy Living Tour, people think sometimes that we just show up, We rub a magic lamp and bam. Mm-mm. But you've had to come, you've had to overcome some challenges.
Yes, huge. And I've shared them. In 2009, actually, I decided to move back to London. I'm originally from France. So I decided to go to London and accept this position after being self-employed for 8 years and doing those online videos since 06.
Yes.
So I had already reached millions, but yet I was in this space where how can I really make a living from this? How can I live fully my dream? But then what happened after moving everything, all my stuff from Chicago back to London, I lost my job and I was made redundant within that economy. So on the 16th of February, I received a phone call from my boss that said, bye, ciao. And that was a shocker. And I decided to record my journey from that moment and share really the gift that it had been to lose my job, which turned out in a book, I lost my job and I liked it. And suddenly, the universal laws there, I really wanted to test it. I really wanted to see what it can bring about. And I said, this is the time for me to step fully in my dream. Yet the fears were present and even more challenges come around because London is a very expensive city.
Yeah.
How do you do without a job? How do you do if you want to just become an author and you've never done that before? And so I faced many, many challenges, including applying to the Oprah Winfrey Show and wanting my own show. And this didn't happen, which then ultimately I said, well, you know what? This is not going to happen, but I'm going to make it happen.
That's right. You're like me. I think people asked me to apply to that. My heart really wasn't in it. And you could tell. I mean, I did the video. It was really bad. And I thought to myself, wow, what is it that we do to please other people and not do to really contribute to the greater good?
Yes.
Right. You are on a mission. You are really in the zone, right? It's what I call the epic zone. It is that place where you know, even though you don't know what your next move is. You know, don't you?
Yes. Extraordinary things are happening. And I feel so blessed to be doing what I'm doing and to connect and to see how it's transforming people's lives. And just to share, really, my passion is to share authentically this journey.
Someone asked me the other day, they said, well, you know, what do you do, Pat? What do you do when you want to interview somebody and you go out there and you try to interview them and for whatever reason, everything is a no? What do you do? I say, what I do is next. I mean, there's nothing that we can do. And there must be a cosmic organization, right? Like you and I being here today, we didn't sit and plan this months ago.
No.
No.
It happened less than a week ago.
Bam.
Days ago.
Bam.
Yes. And that's the wave we're riding right now. And that is different. It's actually a different creation than a few years ago. A few years ago, I was really putting out, declaring around the 100-day challenge, really saying everything that I wanted to bring in manifestation. And now, especially even more since this time, and a lot of people are feeling this, you know, a lot of comments go through Facebook or underneath the videos, and people are experiencing now more instant manifestations without even declaring or without, it's like we're in the receiving phase, the more female energy where we're welcoming. I'm welcoming everything and saying to the universe, bring it on.
Yeah.
I am ready.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah. I mean, and don't you think that part of this is moving from that place of needing, I need to be on Oprah. I need to have a bit. I need, right? I mean, there's that place when the whole intention movement started, folks came from the place of I need.
Yeah.
The universe is way too big for the whole need thing. So don't you think we're moving from that, from I need to I desire?
Yes. It's not even a desire. You know, I had this conversation in Sedona recently. I spent a month there. And we had that whole conversation around desiring. And even desiring, I feel, is still, it's still putting a certain need or a certain vibration to it that is slightly still attached.
That's right. It is.
But when it's like, I am open to receive or to, you know, bring it on, like fully trusting 100% the universe for the greatness that it has for us. So then it is a hard desire. You can call it that way. It all depends how we define it.
Well, you know what? What if it were, you're at a need at some point in your life. When I was 17, I was homeless. I needed a place to stay. Right?
Uh-huh.
You're out of need. Then you move to desire. Then you move to where you are, knowing.
I really do love what Neil Donald Walsh just told me 2 days, 3 days ago in his interview, where he was in poverty. For a year, he was homeless outside of Ashland, Oregon, and didn't know where the food was coming from. And he said really it all came from finding that gratitude and that place in his life at that moment, just as it was, and recognizing that there was something greater here that was happening. And even being grateful for those hard moments, it opened something up for him. And it does create magic. And once we surrender to this force, then there is, and we trust it, things open up in we can't even imagine what it can look like.
Why was this tour and naming this Juicy Living? Why was that? You know, people always ask me, why did you name the Dr. Pat Show Dr. Pat Show? Well, actually, I didn't name the show. The listeners named it. But how does one come up with this? Because it has, at some level, some very deep significance for you.
Yeah. Well, juicy, I always loved the word juicy. I started using it in 2006 after, actually, right after moving from Florida to Chicago in 06, I was on a date, and I told this guy that I was on a date with that I would love to meet Oprah Winfrey. And he said, well, funny enough, the studio is just two blocks down the road. So I had a picture taken in front of the Oprah Winfrey studio, and the next day I declared on video that as part of my 100-day challenge, that I wanted to meet Oprah before the end of the year, be in the audience of her show. And this guy ended up 2 days later bumping into her, and she offered two tickets for us to be on the Oprah show.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've lost my train of thoughts now.
Well, I mean, the idea of being where you were, not being afraid to ask for what you want. I mean, this is really an important conversation for me and for the listeners, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to go back to this thing I asked you about.
Oh, juiciness. Yeah, that's juicy. Why. That's how it came about.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. See, you weren't playing not to lose. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. You know, anybody that's ever been in sports or has done anything, you know, sometimes you play not to lose as opposed to playing to win. What does that mean? Well, it means taking that extra chance, taking that extra effort. You know, I'm not talking about skydiving, but I am talking about, you know, being willing to move beyond your fears, beyond your ego, and say, I want to meet Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk to somebody about that.
Mm-hmm. But I was not attached either at the time.
No, you weren't.
Yeah. And there it was. Meeting Oprah was a big revelation. I felt her energy. I felt what she was doing. And I said, I want to do what she's doing. And I had no background in journalism or interviewing people or TV. And being French, you know, not having a perfect English, I felt the essence of it, and I thought that was juicy. And that's when I start looking online and finding out that there was cable TV in the area of Chicago, and I started. And those videos are still online, Pat. And this is so funny to see them and to see how scared I was and how uncomfortable. But I still had to do it. I had to do it.
Well. You know, don't you think that if you're in your comfort zone, you're really not doing what you really are meant to do? I mean, every time I get on radio, even this conversation today, meeting you here, getting this set up, this is so out of my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, the whole video thing, and thanks to Mike, you know, we've got this going on.
And that's how the unexpected happens. That's really when we get out of our comfort zone, when we step in the unknown. That's where really magic happens.
Now, you've interviewed a lot of people.
Yeah.
I would imagine that you've gotten some incredible sound bites, advice. What were some of the surprises along the way?
Oh, there's been many, many surprises, you know, from the simple interaction with some people and who how project they thought they were, and then meeting them in person. That was a surprise.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. To really people like Gary Zukav a day ago taking the time, you know, to coach me, to really sit down and help me to see and to unleash my authentic power and to go there in those dark sides that I didn't really want to go, and I've been pushing away. So I found very, very generous, dedicated people in this industry, and also some other ones that I've been disappointed by, that I think are not aligned with this vibration. And I think the universe is doing a lot of cleanup right now. And this is the time for all of us and for all those teachers to get it straight. And I think there's a lot of confidence, of authenticity to have here. This is, we're playing this game. We have to, you know, and this is some of the industries where there is some big scandals and scams. And it's now time to really step in this authentic power and share ourselves authentically. Everybody's going through those motions. Every single one of those speakers, even New York Times bestseller, you name it, you can put them on any stage or podium. They still have their stuff to deal with.
Yeah, they do. They have all of the things that we have and going through. And Gary, I've interviewed Gary. You're absolutely right. I mean, he has come on air and has been really true and authentic about everything he's said about his own life, full disclosure about who he's been. And, you know, this is a message that people want to hear now, don't you think? I mean, didn't
you
we
bet go, I want to hear
I mean,
it.
Lulu, didn't we?
We don't want to hear
I
it?
I know, because didn't we go through a period in whatever the movement, I don't know, what are we calling them? I don't even know. But there's a name for the movement, right? Didn't we go through a period where we had keynote speakers, big seminars, you know, people in the field of human potential, and the bottom line was they were up there to get you inspired, and in the end, they wanted to sell you something.
Yes.
And don't you think, you know, we're really moving to something different? I don't know what to call it.
Yeah. Well, I'll call it love. Versus yes. fear, because basing some marketing techniques on fear is how this society has been based. And that's where it needs to shift right now. And this is what's happening. It's really choosing love over fear. And so coming from a place of scarcity and pressurizing people so that they buy the product, I am so not for that.
I'm not either. I have a gift for you.
Mm.
Okay. So
Yay, that's so juicy.
Glad. This is very juicy because I thought about you, you know, not the way people think that you think about people, but I had a sense of you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Not really a thought, almost like a heart. And now I just tapped on my mic. But anyway, you could tell I don't do video. This is like my third video ever. But I have something for you that I wanted to give you to take with you because I felt it so reflected you and your mission. So I wanted to give that to you.
Thank you.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to, when you open it up, I want to tell everybody.
Make some noise here. Yeah, this is all bubble wrapped.
But that's cool. I think the noise is part of the authentic way we're doing this. People can go to juicylivingtour.com, right? That's the best website.
Oh, my goodness. You can't even believe this.
I do believe it. What
do you
think?
You cannot believe it, this.
What do you think?
Okay, this is a heart with two wings.
Yes.
And this, Pat, I'm truly moved and inspired by this because this represents exactly how I feel like.
Yeah, that is the sense I got of it. Of
so
you.
You're an intuitive, a psychic. And
people have said that I'm a little bit like that.
This is incredible. And this was not planned.
No, this is not planned.
I did a soul journey recently with Sabine, wonderful friend, now that has become friend out of Phoenix. And during this soul journey, for 3 hours traveling through my soul.
Oh, wow.
The first part of it, it's in three steps. And the first part of it, I flew off literally after opening my heart chamber as a heart with two wings. And this really, truly represents, there's no... And I said to myself a few weeks ago that I would love to have something like that and to carry it with me. So this is incredible.
I just felt like this was going to be an important part of your journey. And what I love about it, I've had this for years, right? And so we on the Dr. Pat Show have a Pay It Forward program. But I've had things for years that have been, how should I say, meaningful. And, you know, in a lot of the ancient traditions, you must take your most meaningful thing and gift it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I wanted to gift you. Mm. This is the feeling of you that I had. Oh. So I hope
thank you.
You can You can wear it. You can put it in your car. You can take it with you. You can do what you want.
Mm. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is truly special. And what a great yes lesson. I experienced a little bit of that, but it was not for such a meaningful, precious gift as that, because this is really, we're touching here the soul and the essence. But a few days ago, to talk about detachment and letting go, is that I was in Eugene a few days ago, and there's this teenager that absolutely loved the bag I was carrying. It was a Lululemon bag, you know, one of those hot brands right
now.
And I was carrying it, and she couldn't get over it. And I said, "Do you want it?" I said, "Yeah."
"Yeah.
Are you kidding me?" She couldn't believe it. And everybody could just that whole detachment. And for me, it was an exercise, but I really saw where I was on my spiritual journey. And I saw that, you know, even if it was just a bag, we can get attached to those kind of things.
Oh, yes.
Especially
absolutely.
When somebody else wants it. Like it makes
absolutely.
It's even more of importance.
Yeah.
But here to let go was, I felt so profoundly connected, and my heart was so open and connected to each and everything. And it's definitely the whole pay it forward too is incredible. The other day, same thing in the Starbucks, the guy had $100 bill, and I'm like, they didn't have to change it. I'm saying, let me offer it to you.
Exactly. I mean, and this is really what you've created.
Mm-hmm.
This is the world that you've stepped out and said, I'm going to carry this forward. I'm going to carry the love forward. I'm going to carry the Juicy Living Tour forward. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to step out on faith.
It's totally faith.
It is.
There was no corporate sponsors behind this. There was no signs of whatsoever will support a 12-month tour around the U.S., flying, car rentals, accommodation. Nothing showed that. And yet I decided to do it. And from the moment I stepped in Santa Fe on the 11th of January 2011, the donations from viewers started coming in. I just decided on that day to buy a computer. I needed a computer to upload the video.
That's beautiful.
I didn't even had, you know, I barely had money to buy this computer. $1,000 came in. That same day, without doing a video or speaking about it, just naturally. And there's been over nearly $25,000 being given. But it's constantly a game of being faithful, you know, and giving and sharing and trusting.
Well, this is something that, it's hard to explain. You know, we're talking with people now that are listening to the show. Certainly we're speaking with people that are watching the video, and we're talking about faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to take an idea, a construct, whatever you want to call it, this thing called faith, this invisible thing, and to say to people, just have faith. But don't you think once you experience it, it gets in your cells so that you can recognize it again?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I believe the more we experience it, the more then with neuroplasticity. I mean, literally, there's some new connections that are being built. So, and then it's really a habit. It's really anchored. But still, when there's those big chunks coming up in our life, does that shake up everything?
It does. It does.
And it usually it's beyond, like recently I lost my laptop. I was in Seattle Airport a week ago when I landed, and I was getting a car rental, and I left my laptop, you know, $3,000 laptop where I do all my work from because I upload those videos. And I was so upset. I was so upset, and I was like, this is not the right moment. You know, I'm going to Hawaii. I have many expenses coming up. I really cannot. And then in the end, I really saw that it was not about the laptop, but it really happened so fast. And I thought I saw how it was my relationship to money and abundance. And then deeper than that, faith, you know, and just letting it go and saying, you know what? I am grateful for having lost my computer, and being grateful for what we experiencing, which appears as negative, is a huge one, but it liberates the energy for it to transform and to transmute and something else then can happen.
Well, if you don't do that, it becomes your story, and your story isn't about Juicy anymore. You know, your story is about loss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what you're talking about is such an important message for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that experience, to really look at something that you have been carrying around that probably had a lot of valuable things to you in terms of the tour,
mm-hmm.
and to be grateful for its loss is a huge energy, right? It's epic. It's an epic moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I call an epic moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is one of the greatest gifts that we can offer in speaking to people today.
Yeah.
You know,
and the laptop was returned by two beautiful angels that called from their hotel and opened my computer and said, "We're Skyping from your Skype. Who is this computer?" And I met them, and they're two wonderful people from Sacramento.
You know, it's really interesting. You left it in Seattle?
Yeah, 4 or 5 hours later, it was there.
Okay. So Seattle is a really interesting energy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because I've lost things in Seattle, wallets, you name it, and they've always shown up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to say to our listeners about where you've been and where you're going and how they can be involved with that?
Where I'm at right now is really opening up to the greatest and to the juiciest scenario that life can bring on. And I'm really inviting everybody to step in that greatness and invite life, really invite life in a big way and start communicating with life, start communicating with the unseen, starting really to stepping in the unknown, having the courage to do that. I would love for people to, you know, participate and to share their own journey on videos. This is why we did the 100-day challenge. But it can be done in many, many different ways for just people to really open up to people around them and start being authentic and having those conversations with our loved ones and really being real with them. And if we're having hard times, then having that conversation instead of pretending that it's all good and all great, you know, when it's not. We have to really start by being really, really straightforward, because that opens up again a new layer, So I'm hoping that we're all fully stepping in this, because we're all in it together, and there's magnificent things in store for us. We don't even need to continue to declare them and to push them. And this, it's all a matter of receiving now. So let's open our hearts. Let's open our arms and just receive and being grateful for that and cultivate that. Whatever life brings, what seems good or bad, there's always both aspects to everything. So
I love
it. It's hard to judge it.
I love it. Now tell everyone the best way that they can find out, see the videos, because you are on a mission.
Yeah, 1,500 videos on YouTube, nearly 9 million views, and now starting a new iPhone channel. So the main YouTube channel is youtube.com/LilouMacé, LILOUMACE. All those videos are then embedded inside the juicylivingtour.com and inside other websites. And now I'm having this fun little journey with this iPhone, and I'm recording all the behind the scenes, which are all going on Facebook and on the behind the scenes section of the Juicy Living Tour, which shows the magic around those interviews and other videos. Cause I like the sharing part. I really like sharing the journey.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so stay tuned for me dancing to Katy Perry's hit song E.T. on the iPhone. Thank you, Lilou, for joining me here today. Great, 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 great love for you. I hope that this brings you joy and the peace that it has brought
already.
Me. It's got a lot of really juicy energy.
Mm.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Dr. Pat Show. We'll see you in a few.